Today's show is all about drag queens. Big surprise. With RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3 wrapping up and Season 10's cast reveal, there are thousands of hot discussions about LGBT folks and their friends' favorite pastime, cross-dressers and pantyhose for dollars. As Andy Warhol could have said, in the future, everyone will be a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Today, Mother has arrived. Mother to Ornacia, Vivacious, joins us to weigh in on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 Girls and the last remaining episodes of All Stars 3, or as we like to call it, the Ben de la Creme and Shangela Show.
Plus, who are the girls you need to keep an eye out for?
Bob the Drag Queen replaces Katya and most of Trixie on the Trixie and Katya Show.
And what does Vivacious have to say about Cornacia? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello.
A-ring-a-dingy, a-ring-a-dingy. Is this Vivacious?
This is Ha.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've been sewing costumes from noon, and I needed a few minutes just to take a power nap and recharge myself.
Do you want me to call you back in 10 more minutes
no,
or something?
No, bitch. We are good to go. I did what I needed to do. How dare you?
Well, drink some scalding hot tea, honey, because...
I'm over here waiting for you and Mark to come sleep with me and shit. I'm like, when are y'all ringing the calling?
We're trying to get you to Chicago for Cooking with Drag Queens.
Yeah.
And do a live podcast somewhere. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
We're on the podcast right now, and with All Stars 3 wrapping up and Season 10, or as I like to call it, Season 6, is underway. There are so many drag queens. As Andy Warhol once said, in the future, everyone's going to be a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race.
It seems
Mark and I were actually on Drag Race. It was an early season, Season 2, but in subsequent airings of the episodes, we got edited out. You don't remember me, right?
Shade up at all, honey.
Mark was Little Miss Triscuit Peaches, and I was Thirstina Royale. There are so many drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race that if I started throwing names of the contestants to you,
people
Vivacious,
would literally say who.
You'd be like, who the fuck is... You know? And that's part of the challenge with All-Stars is, like, you know, people, like, have their favorites from their own community or people they've known for years. And, you know, the producers of Drag Race ultimately have to cast people who the public doesn't go, who? When they see them, you know, walking out.
Right.
Well, how you been enjoying the Ben de la Creme and Shangela Show?
I'm more a Shangela girl. I'm living for it.
Yeah, the show would not be the same without Shangela.
No, she knows how to edit right. In terms of, she knows how to look right in the camera and get you. She's playing the game quite well, and she is a living proof that they made the right choice, even for Season 2 and 3 when she first came on.
It's almost like Drag Race wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for all those years of Shangela coming on the show and fucking shit up intentionally.
Miss Hallelujah, Miss Cornsage, something. I'm a professional. Yes, it's true. I believe she added that extra spice. But let's, overall, though, when you look at Drag Race from all the winners and everyone in between, I believe, to me, Shangela embodies the true winner of all of Drag Race. And I'm going to tell you why. In the first season when she came on, she was so unprepared. Remember her first outfit, that Christmas skirt with a rip in the back? She couldn't even construct anything. They read her. She was the first one that got sent home on Season 2. She comes back on Season 3, and then Raja lets everybody makes everybody team up and try to come for her from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And she, even though they were coming for her left and right, she still persisted up until the top five position. And she left at top five. Now, a few months later, this is called karmatic shade. And it's nothing against Raja. They were doing Pride, I think, in California. And all the reporters were on the right side of the vehicle. And Raja was on the right side of the vehicle also. Mm. And the reporters ran around to the left side to interview Shangela instead of the winner with the sash saying she was the winner of Drag Race for that season, which was Raja. They bypassed her. And went to the up. They bypassed her like the Suez Canal and went to the other side to speak to Shangela instead.
Why do you think that is?
Personality. There is something about her that draws you in. They all ran to the other side to interview her instead. And for Raja to get her even 5 seconds in, she had to use the phrase she did not want to use.
Mm-hmm. And what was the phrase?
Hallelujah.
Is Shangela over Hallelujah? Honey, Hallelujah's paid for a lot of her bills.
She's Hallelujah all the way. No.
She's not over Hallelujah, honey. She walked in this season in Hallelujah, yeah. And then she brought back her cornsage. And then you know, I'm gonna have to go slap her. And why? I'm gonna tell you how dare that bitch put on that wig, put popcorns in it, and have the nerve to call it Cornisha. First of all, Cornisha is a real person that used to work in RuPaul's mother's salon. It's not a made-up name.
Oh, that's right. There is an actual Cornisha.
No different. Don't matter what you call her or misplace her or whatever. She's real. She's not a wig. She's a real person. And Ornisha was based on Cornisha's name. And then this child gonna come back up with some green wig with some popcorn in there. It's like, Cornisha? I was like, ooh. So now officially there are now two Cornishas on the planet.
Well, they don't give the girls laptops, iPads, and they take away their phones when they get on All Stars and Drag Race. So you got to forgive them for not being able to search the Wikipedia entry about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but if you're a real, I'm back to my roots fanatic like I am, you will realize that. You know, that name is in there, honey, right before she says, peace, my brothers and sisters, peace, love, and here, Greece. I love you, mama.
Now, what'd you think about Shangela's portrayal of Jennifer Lewis for Snatch Game?
Shangela is Jennifer Lewis. Don't let them two bitches fool you. Mm-hmm. They are one and the same. Jennifer Lewis knows how to detach a part of her body. It has sentient life. And she named it Shangela. And so when she needs to promote herself outside and get away with certain things that she can't do while she's still on the contract, she sends little old Shangela out there to let people know she's still alive, kicking and carrying on, honey.
Were they good friends or were they living together? I forget what the situation
was. Jennifer Lewis and Shangela actually lived together.
They actually lived together.
Yeah. So this is kind of like you doing a portrayal of like a close friend who gave you a place to sleep in L.A. when you're trying to make it as an actor.
Mm-hmm. I think Shangela used to be her intern many, many years ago, I think in New York or somewhere else. And then when she moved out there, they reconnected again. No, I think Sheila went to one of her shows. Shangela has before in terms of the full series. I don't quite remember how it goes. I think Shangela then went to one of her shows and they reconnected again. And they've been reconnected ever since. So I think when Shangela moved out to L.A., she was like, girl, this house is big enough. I got a closet for you in the back. And that's
where some of these celebrities' homes are so big that their closets have like their own bathrooms and like a refrigerator and a kitchen inside. And you're like, and oh my Shangela, God.
Yeah. Shangela lives in a closet with the outhouse. She's good.
So what do you think about Bibi Zahra Benet as Grace Jones? I thought she was definitely fun, and I felt that she was channeling the 80s pop star.
And also Stranger, very Stranger.
Yeah. She went very Stranger. She did that quite well. I was hoping she would have saved a little bit of that for in the middle as opposed to the beginning. Literally came out right as soon as they did her name, and she embodied the whole scene from a restaurant. And I was like, if you would save a little bit of that for the middle, you could have taken a little bit more over the top. But, you know, Grace Jones is one of the, you know, a lot of people don't understand Snatch Game. It's not just about impersonating someone. You have to find someone that have a lot of funny quips and a lot of wit to it, and you have to be able to embody that language, and you have to have it literally pouring out of your pores left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, and Shangela was going to do Miss Cleo.
I was going to ask you about that.
Which is my character. My character.
So you put a cease and desist letter.
I'm
going to
send her a cease and desist. I'm going to send her a cease and desist letter. How dare that lady try to turn Miss Cleo into some Irish pound cake business?
It kind of surprised me that she was just doing that full on Irish and thinking it was Jamaican, and we're like, what the heck's
the Jamaican accent is really hard to pull off unless you're purposely impersonating Miss Clea or Vivacious.
You either live it or you can't pull it. It's one or the other.
Can we try doing that right now and you correct us? Can we do this right now to see show how hard it is?
Okay.
Call me now, darlings. It is harder. You keep
no
going.
Woman, no cry.
My lucky charms. You know, it's like I keep wanting things to be like the old Irish with the cranberries.
But if you're doing Miss Cleo, though, she wasn't even Jamaican. That was a fake accent. She was a lesbian who was a psychic or a fake psychic, and she eventually got sued by, I think it was the state of Missouri, and lost all her money because of like, you know, basically she was running a scam. But I guess it was, you know, she felt very targeted because she was a woman of color, because a lot of other people have gone untargeted who do exactly the same thing.
And that is Uri Del Harris, who was born and raised in Los Angeles, California.
I used to manage a restaurant here in Chicago, and it was part of a hotel. And one time the room service, the girl answered, and she was, oh my God, I got a room service order for this woman. She sounds just like Miss Cleo. We all kind of laughed. And then she came back and she was like, oh my God, it really was Miss Cleo. We're like, holy shit.
I need chicken wings now, darling. I'm calling you now.
I need some chicken wing. I want some barbecue sauce with it. And I want some jerk sauce with it, too. All right, so make sure so you bring it up in over 30 minutes, you hear?
Do your parents...
That's an authentic Jamaican accent, people. You guys are lucky to hear this.
Is that how your parents talk?
No, that's how I talk. My parents actually speak more proper than I do.
Oh, they don't have a Jamaican accent?
They force themselves to speak more British English than Patois. Ah.
Can I hear you trying to talk like a out non-Jamaican accent just for a second to see what that sounds like?
Talk like a white person.
I can't do that because I just the same way how I'm gay and I can't change who I am, I can't change my language do either. Okay, I am stuck, honey. Stuck.
You are Jamaican and gay for life and a fierce queen. A lot of people were laughing at Shishi Devane's tribute to Maya Angelou. And even laughing at RuPaul asking... Wait. RuPaul was asking Shishi Devane, why does a cage bird sing? But I bet most people don't know the significance of that phrase to Maya Angelou.
Doesn't know why the cage bird sings.
I think we all know why the cage bird sings.
Well, I'm curious to hear... Let's hear Vivacious. Let's hear Vivacious thing. Why does the cage bird sing, Vivacious? To Maya Angelou.
I don't know why the cage bird sings.
Mark, what do you think the cage bird sings?
Because the cage bird sings because it, even though it's trapped, it is still yearning to be free.
Maya Angelou decided to call her memoirs I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Mm-hmm. The title of her autobiography is based on a poem by Paul Laurence Dunbar called Sympathy. Mm-hmm. Come on, Google.
He was an African-American poet here in the 1800s.
And so he wrote, I know why the caged bird sings, when his wing is bruised and his bosom sore, when he beats his bars, he would be free. It is not a carol of joy or glee, but a prayer that he sends from his heart's deep core, but a plea that upward to heaven he flings. I know why the caged bird sings. And that, I guess scholars have compared the caged bird sings to a boxer, or maybe a drag queen who is battling other queens for the title of America's Next Drag Superstar. So it's a very appropriate question to ask someone who's being Maya Angelou, and it would have been really fast. Someone who really understands Maya Angelou would have been really do something really transcendent, extraordinary.
I would have said it's singing because it's really horny and it wants to get laid. Because that's part of the reason why birds sing, too. It's like, you know, it's their mating call.
I believe, you know, you have to be very calculating in terms of pulling, getting your snatch together. Mm. And I think Chi-Chi thought that just because she slightly might have sound somebody, you know, and remember, I think in last, not this episode, the episode before where Shangela pointed to the arm mirrors and said, you bitches online are the ones that told Trixie that she could do RuPaul. I blame you people on the internet.
Listen, Trixie sat right here at this chair. I'm looking right at this chair, and we told her RuPaul wasn't good. You can listen to it on the podcast. Probably the last podcast we talked to her.
Yeah,
about.
She was so mad that we told her shit didn't stink that she hasn't talked to us. Well, actually, she has, but...
Trixie, go come to your house and cut up all your car tires,
Let me tell you about Maya Angelou. We had our friends Michael and Daryl got married, and they are they're a mixed-race couple, right? Michael's white and Daryl's black from Chicago. And so they had a wedding, and during the wedding, Fausto gave a toast, and he pulled out Maya Angelou's speech from Madea's family reunion, yes. The importance of family.
In and out of time.
And read it. And everybody was just like applauding and think it's the most wonderful thing. And nobody recognized that it was from Tyler Perry's
Nobody Madea. The reference. But you know what?
But they did. Our friends who got married did.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fausto punked that whole wedding.
I didn't punk the whole wedding.
You punked them.
Only Fausto would pull some stunt like that.
Listen, if you are a fan of Tyler Perry and you, I mean, at the time I had memorized it. It's been a long time since I did that.
You actually read it from your phone.
Shady.
It's true. It's okay. It's a long
you
poem.
You shady apes.
He Googled it at the last minute. But, you know, we would go with Michael and Daryl to see the Madeos movies.
And we still do.
And we still do.
Yeah.
Although we didn't see Boo 2. We saw the first Madea's
book. Well,
I haven't seen any of the Halloween ones that she's done, but I've seen every other single one, and I happen to love them. You know, there's a lot of black folks that are pissed. I wish if she would stop doing movies like that. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry for you little damn cage bird children out there. Stop! Free your minds and stop trying to always keep trying to put something in a cage. It needs to be done to a certain black specifications. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you don't free your mind, you'll never, you know, it's people like those Harriet Tubman decided not to go back for.
Did you know, somebody told me this, and I don't know if this is true or not, I have to Google this, I read that Harriet Tubman, when she was taking slaves up north, some of them decided they were going to go back, she just shot them dead.
Oh my God. She just left.
No, Pino, like,
if
no,
that
Pino
woman
shade.
Doesn't belong on money, I don't know who does.
Yeah,
she should be on her money. If I was with Harriet, I would have helped her shoot them too. That's why she said, I would have freed 100,000 more, but some of them still didn't even know that they were free.
Amen. And of course, the elephant in the room is of Trixie Mattel's RuPaul impersonation, which everyone's kind of like... It's so bad, you know, and this is the thing about actually that speaks well of Trixie. She's the kind of queen who can literally take a shit on stage in front of RuPaul And the internet doesn't respond like, well, Trixie's overrated. We really, you know, made a mistake in giving her our fame. No, they make it a meme and they're like, we love your bad RuPaul impersonation. And now Trixie Mattel, she's being paid by VH1 to recreate that moment in promotion, old videos. And I'm just like, this is so disturbing and weird. I like it, actually.
I maybe we should call it probably disillusional. I mean, my thing on that is like, had Kennedy done some shit like that, they would have eviscerated her.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, which brings us to that article that Mark had sent me about the how the racing is going on, how people perceive the races on Drag Race.
Younger queens, skinnier queens, white queens get much more preferential treatment, a much more favorable response from the public than any queens that are marginalized in any way or another.
Even when the black queen can do the job 10 times better, I believe that Kennedy is the most dancingest bitch out of every single person. She can outdance Alyssa Edwards with rings. And it's nothing against Alyssa. I'm just saying, the black children know how to get down. And you look at Kennedy's page, it'll say something like 286,000 fans. You go to Miss Alyssa's, it's like 9,242,856. And it's like, girl, she went to top four in her season, Miss Kennedy, and she, child, they don't even pay her nooch. It's like it's
well. Listen, some people do, and you know, it's you don't need to have a million followers on Instagram or Twitter. I mean, look at us. Nope. You know, we're still here, baby.
I love the 69,000 fans that I have. I live for every single one of them. I have vetted every single one fiercer than Donald Trump has vetted his idiots into the White House. Every one of mine had to go through Maxine Waters, they had to pass through Oprah, and they had to pass through my mother to get to my page. Mm. And if it's not approved by all three, then plus me and Vivacious, and Ornatia gets the final stamp of approval, that bitch ain't getting added to my Instagram.
Well, and so as far as
all of those.
And as far as those criticisms of the show, it's like, you know, it's important to bring those things up, and it's important to remind people so that they question their own prejudices. You know, because you see it here and there, you have Facebook comments about how this person is, like, not necessarily as good as this other person, and you're just like, well, it's a matter of choice, but, like, are you making that choice because that person is a person of color? You really have to think about those things and question your own self.
So what about Ben de la Creme trying to be a nice girl throughout the whole season? And it's like, she's the one who's seems to be sending everybody home.
Honey, me and the people who I know could see all through that kind of niceness, honey. She reminds me of Theodore Roosevelt. What was it? Speak softly and carry a big stick. Because the whole idea is, you know, Theodore liked to present himself very nicely, but that stick was used to beat your ass when nobody was looking. Miss Ben, she is good at Drag Race in terms of the craft, the execution. But honey, she knows how to manipulate and she knows how to say things to make it look like she doesn't mean to come off that way. Yes, she did, girl. Everybody could see it.
Do you think that Ben de la Creme is just, he's in some ways so guarded about worrying about saying something that might be interpreted as mean or cruel that she goes out of her way to look insincere in some ways because she never speaks her mind on who she favors and doesn't favor?
Uh-huh. Looks like Cupid, but her zip code is 666. Yes, it's very much that. Here's the analogy, take it or leave it.
And what do you think about Bibi Zarabanay after all these seasons, after all these episodes and people saying, like, you got to learn how to sew. You got to learn. And she gets on Drag Race All-Stars, and she's like, I don't know how to sew. So that was Terry from Pee-wee's Playhouse, not Bibi Zarabanay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you probably won't see me on All-Stars 3 is because it's on right now. I might show up for 4, but definitely I'm going to put my foot in for 5. And I'm going to tell you why. There is one thing this bitch needs to conquer. That's called hair. Mother doesn't do hair. Before I step to All Stars, I want to make sure I can do hair properly. The reason why I haven't touched hair is because I micromanage, and 3 million strands of hair look like 3,000 strands of unruly little children that all need to be put together. So once I learn how to do her, I'm going to go step to that All Stars. Now, in terms of BB not being able to, I find that slightly odd. I don't think they told her in the lab in 5 weeks, girl, you need to get to it. You've had ample time since season one up until now to slowly learn from a friend, from someone to help you get it together. And I won't use that as an excuse. Well, I won, I don't need to. There are days that you're going to go out on the street, and what if the wig that somebody gave you fell before you got to the stage? Mm-hmm, you still need to know how to zhuzh it up and bring it back to life.
A lot of writers are criticizing All Stars and Drag Race, saying a lot of these cheesy challenges like Snatch Game or the soup can competition are very similar to the Float Your Boat competition, that they're intentionally made to make the queens look awkward. And then they need to go because it's not a good idea to have these starlets show them in a bad light. But I would say this is why we tune in. This is we want to see these goofy moments.
Honey, queens need to be beaten down and rebuilt. That's what makes you a strong person. If you keep pussyfooting on everything in life will offend you.
Yeah.
You will never survive the world out there that really is there to do you harm. So putting a sewing challenge and seeing these girls struggle to do it, yes, they need the star power needs to be knocked out of them so that they can face a few truths about reality. And the reality is, Shangela, as much as you is a fierce girl, you cannot sew. Fix that.
The reason I like RuPaul's Drag Race is because we already live in a world where a lot of these celebrities or entertainers are people who don't know how to do anything and would faint at the thought of having to sew their own costume or wear a soup can on stage. And eventually these Drag Race girls might get in a position in their careers where they would balk at being asked to do something like that. Right now, it's a really great moment because we get a little best of both worlds. You know, these girls have star power, but at the same time, the producers do put them in really uncomfortable positions that make for great television.
Yes. To humanize a queen makes you connect with a queen more. When you realize that Shangela last week gulped when they said this was a sewing challenge, all of a sudden, you started holding your rosary beads and be like, Lord, please don't let her pull a season 2 and 3.
I would love to see Shangela have, of all the contestants of all of Drag Race, have her own reality TV show. Very much like My Life on the D-List. Because I just can't get enough of watching Shangela comment on the ridiculous shenanigans that she's going through. And I'm really sad because they already announced, you know, season 10 of Drag Race, and I feel like I haven't gotten my Shangela fix yet.
We still have a few more episodes to see her win.
I mean, it seems really clear that Shangela is going to win Drag Race, in my opinion, at this point.
Or it could be Ben, but I don't know. There's rumors out there that's saying that Ben eliminates herself or she walks off or something. I don't know.
There's also a rumor that Shangela eats Ben de la Creme. But that's another.
Wow.
And then there's also rumors that Trixie Mattel is going to win it. But I don't know. See, I just don't feel like Trixie Mattel is you know, storming in the way Alaska did last season. And I was expecting that.
Alaska, sweetie, last season, Alaska walked into the building and killed every queen. Yeah. They were dead before the first credits went up. They were dead before the last credit went down. Okay? This season, Ben de la Creme's been doing the same thing. And then she's had to deal with Shangela in the process. Me personally, I'm rooting for Shangela. Should Trixie come from the back and pull it to the front, good for her. But I don't think the rest of the girls that are there are just going to hand it over to her. I believe this is from what I've seen so far, Trixie choked on her own season. She's kind of choking on this one. I believe that she can plan things out ahead of time and execute it quite well. But when push comes to shove in a clinch, and she's not the one controlling the narrative, and the narrative is being dictated to her, it becomes a different way of how she handles the challenge.
Mark, what was the first time you and I met Shangela? Was at the
Milwaukee Pride Fest.
And she struck us a little bit the way Trixie Mattel is now, kind of caught in her head and kind of quiet and
I met her back in the trailer, and she was wearing a fur coat, and she was a little pensive and stuff, and she was kind of quiet. But it was also, it would have been right after season 3, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't even know if season 3 had even aired yet.
I don't think it had. Yeah. I think they had already filmed it.
I'm not sure, even though maybe I'm first was a headliner, so I'm not really
100%
sure.
Are you sure it was in season 2? Because remember, what made them bring her back to season 3 was because after she left season 2, she went and auditioned for Entertainer of the Year, and she won. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was
Monique was the headliner for the festival.
Not that year.
Yes, it was. I have a photo of them all together. No, it wasn't Kathy Griffin. Okay. It was Monique with all the girls.
Okay.
And Shangela was there because I was taking a picture of all of them together, and Shangela wasn't in the group. And I turned to Shangela and I said, hurry up. All these queens are posing with a star, you know? Get yourself in there and stuff. And she looked at me and said, don't tell me what to do. And part of me was like, here's somebody who I just felt like she had so much to give, and she was, I don't know what was going on in her life at the time, but she just seemed really kind of like, you know, second guessing herself, and you know, and I know what that feeling is like just going, God, you know, I feel like I've been hurt, I feel like I'm wounded, and I'm licking my wounds, and I have to be on, and I don't feel like being on.
I think a lot was thrusted upon her at that young age at that time. I mean, she kind of thrust it upon herself, but the rest was more thrust upon her. And I think you caught Shangela in the moment where she was actually figuring out how to build her foundation in terms of how to be a strong Shangela. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you caught her in a vulnerable position at that point, because that person does not exist anymore.
And I never judge performers like on their personality and stuff like that before a show or right after a show, because that's not necessarily like true to who they are. You know, your nerves are shot. You're thinking about a million different things. Things are happening. You're racking your brain because it's like, you know, it's like what's going on. So you have to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photo right now on my screen. It is Shangela. This is an amazing photograph, and I'll post it on the... It's the girls from Excel. With Mimi M first, it is Monique from Back Swamp, Mississippi, Stacey Lane Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
Ivy White, Monique's drag queen impersonator.
Rest in peace.
Shangela, that drag queen you said that had to die, that you're like, I'm glad you killed her off. That she went up to you and said,
Saucy Firewater?
Saucy Firewater.
Okay.
Cece LaRouge.
Oh, really?
In this photo. And
Jade there too?
No, Jade's not there, but from Chicago, she went to high school with Meg Grunewald.
Debbie Fox.
And then the drag queen who I kept flirting with her boyfriend, she said, stop flirting with my boyfriend.
India Farah.
So they're all in this photo. You can see this amazing photo for drag history. It was taken in 2011. And it is
so an amazing photo. Season 3.
And Shangela showed up at that photo at the last second. So this is...
Because you told her to hurry her ass up.
I told her to hurry up. And this is a very young, skinny, young, beautiful, gorgeous Shangela standing in front of all the queens.
Let me set the stage for you. She came back on the show the second time. She got eliminated. All the queens, literally, that were in the top 5 have been berating her all season. That's enough to give you a lot of self-doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and she knew she had something to prove. And, you know, she did it her way. And look at where she is now. Most of the tours that are happening globally refuse to do their tours unless Shangela is the MC.
Yeah.
Because Shangela knows how to be funny without cursing. Something that none of these other queens know how to embody.
This is one thing I don't understand about All Stars. You know that Shangela obviously is the one who's going to be doing well. Why don't you pick the competition, the ones who are going to beat you, and send them home? Because Shangela, someone had a chance to send Shangela home, but they didn't.
Yeah, but you have to understand, though, too, the producers of the show are not going to let you send a talented person home. They're just not. And it's like, we can say, like, these people
are picked. Do you really think that, Mark?
Well, do you think wrestling is fixed? Do you think, because if you think RuPaul's Drag Race is any different than wrestling, then I don't know what to tell you, because it's pretty much the same thing. This is all, it's a setup.
There's a mechanism, and there's definitely things left to chance.
Yes, there's a mechanism just like, and things left to chance.
So, not this episode, but the episode previous, when Shangela did Jennifer Lewis, mm-hmm. and Trixie did RuPaul.
Yes.
You think that if Shangela had said, I chose Trixie, they would have been like, no?
I don't think...
They might not have left Shangela win, because they choose who goes home. Mm-hmm. By who wins the lip sync. Right. And it's always a close call.
Right. Well, what they would have said to her is they probably would have said something like this when you know, okay, we're going to do the elimination, so you're going to go over and pick the lipstick. You know, make sure you pick Shishi. And when you go up there, then when you give your bleach, make it seem like you're going to eliminate Trixie. And then... You know, send Shishi home so we have that oh my God, it's gonna happen, and then we're gonna send her home. Can you do that? And she'll be saying, of course I can do it. And she'll be like, no, I can't do that. And then they'll be like, well, you need to do that because this is what you agreed to do. So yes.
So
how do you not know this, Vivacious?
Yeah,
you were on that
this.
Show. You were on that show.
They gave you the slip that you were leaving the day before they eliminated you. Then they. That was the rumors that they were giving people
for the first 3 years.
First 3 years, not on Vivacious season, but they gave them the checkout notice.
Sweetie, yeah. they set me up like a candle, honey. And so as my friend China girl from Miami would say, she's like, "Girl, you will fail every single challenge, but there's one thing they can't beat you in." They can't beat you in lip syncing and performing, because you could outdo any bitch when you perform. And that much I do know is true. Mm. It's like the bitch could have death drops and backflips, but one thing I can do is emote.
Mm. Not it's an who sent you home again? I forget.
So I had a lip sync against April Carrion for Selena Gomez. Turn the lights down or whatever it was.
Did you
called
even know who
time.
Selena Gomez was?
Huh?
Did you even know who she was?
No, but it doesn't matter who the person is. My job is to learn the track and embody what the track is telling me in the track.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that would drive me crazy if I was on that show. It's like they would give you all this like trashy music you don't like, and you're like, ugh, I have to lip sync this?
It's not. Well, what I did was this. The minute that they told us what we would be performing to, I ran down the list and looked at what the tracks that I knew, put them to the side. And the 6 days that I was packing, I just kept playing all the other tracks and writing down the words and lyrics to make sure that I had everything fully covered. Mm. So even when I did Celine, I knew the words. Now, I think the technicality of my elimination was we gave it to the Puerto Rican because she kind of looked like Selena. Okay. Then,
yeah.
I mean... So what, if she had performed Jennifer Holliday better than me, you wouldn't give it to her because she's not of Jennifer Holliday's color,
right.
Childhood years.
Well, we had her in the home studio here, and we did a podcast with her, and it was a very lovely experience. We
cooking
actually
with
did
drag
cooking
queens.
With drag queens episode with her, too.
We made quesitos with April Carrion. April Carrion grew up working in a bakery in her parents' grandparents' bakery in the mountains of Puerto Rico.
Oh, work.
So she knew, she. We were like, it was kind of a serendipity because I had no idea. And we were just like, hey, do you want to do this? And she's like, sure. I actually know exactly what we're doing. And it was fantastic. So anyways, you were telling me over the phone that they announced season 10 kind of midway through All Stars, which in some ways robs both groups of drag queens from milking the fame.
Oh, my God. It's like three dicks coming through a glory hole all at once. It's like, bitch, let me suck off the first one before I get to number two, and let me finish number two before you tell me number three is coming. It's like, really?
Well, part of it is I think the producers want to keep the momentum going, and the public certainly is very excited and loves All Stars, which is a nice refreshing change from All Stars 1, which everybody hated.
It doesn't give us enough time to enshrine the winners and appreciate All Stars 3 to then turn around and have a little breath of breathing to then appreciate all the girls in a, for a few weeks to, you know, to put some wind beneath their wings and encourage them and let them know we're rooting for them.
Fuck that. I want more drag, all drag. Keep it coming. Don't stop. Keep the flow.
No,
let's see.
No,
it's
no.
In the future.
Remember,
so
everyone is a drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah. Everyone will be a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing two cycles a season now. They have a fall cycle and a spring cycle.
In fact, they're going to do 12 seasons every year. One for each month.
Too much of one thing is never a good thing.
So who are you most excited for season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, I would probably say the ones that I can't even say that right now. I would say
what?
Girl, we have to wait until all that disclosure is done. I would say I'm excited to see Asia O'Hara. I'm excited to see Aquaria. I'm excited to see Monet Exchange. I'm very excited to see what Miss Cracker can do, because these are some of the people that I truly admire in terms of what they bring to Drag Race. And, you know, those people, the names that I've mentioned, they've been making their bones for the last few years and built their numbers just by doing work.
So they're definitely workhorses.
These girls, you know, Aquaria built her numbers by being the makeup girl. As in each day, Aquaria was doing 3 photo shoots per day.
Wow.
Building, yes, as in wax on, wax off, and put on new makeup, etc., to go do the next one and come up with a new concept. And she just kept on going.
Well, in New York, how old can you be? Because she's just like 21 years old. Like, if you're working in a nightclub, can you be younger, under 21?
No one asks. When you are in drag, you are considered an adult.
Listen up, kids.
So it's a good way to just go into a bar.
Well, no, not also. Aquaria was also protected by Suzanne Barsh. So Suzanne Barsh's parties, they're not going to question Aquaria walking through the door. Suzanne will destroy the building and kill everyone inside.
So Aquaria is not just related to Sharon Needles as her drag daughter, but she's part of Milk, the drag queen's scene.
No, I would say Milk is a part of her scene.
Oh.
Well, I'm saying that they both share the sisterhood of being part of Suzanne Barsh's shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Asia O'Hara is a Miss Gay America, so she already has won one title.
Well, the reason why I like her is because that child can design. Somebody went online trying to read her for that hair that she used on her head. I'm like, I'm sorry, dear. Not everybody needs a ballroom gown here for a pageant.
Asia O'Hara's from Dallas, Texas, and her major point of contention is that she wants drag queens to be making their costumes, making stuff, creating art from scratch instead of shopping for clothes and for ideas.
Well, you know what? A friend of mine a few days ago named Keisha Carr Adams, she's on Facebook, and she wrote a post that she liked the fact that, you know, she said, this season of All Stars, it proves that these girls just went out and had stuff bought and made for them, and none of them have the skill to pull it off. Hence, that's why they all flapped on the sewing challenge. There needs to be more sewing challenges to pull these girls together to show what their real skills are, because they're literally all just rich children based on where they've ended up, you know, from the TV show, just buying costumes from different designers to show for All Stars. The costumes that they're making are outer worldly. No one can own those costumes. No one has a wardrobe like that. And it's true.
What about Blair St. Clair from Indianapolis? She describes herself as a Broadway baby ingenue, which means she really doesn't have any idea what she's all about.
Well, she's trying to make it sound I'm younger than the other Broadway people. Yeah. The other Broadway queens, you think about them, they're in their 30s or 40s, you know.
Or 50s or 60s. I think she's cute, and she's definitely sweet, and definitely strikes me as somebody who's going to be popular with the viewers of the show because they can relate to because they're the same age.
Right. Well, you know, it's a matter of, let's see how far she goes.
Miss Cracker, of course, she's a front runner. You know, has roots in activism. She describes herself as a thin, white, and salty, a Jewish Barbie on bath salts.
See, that, I love that crazy white queen. Let me tell you something. I've worked with her up here before. Her personality drew me towards wanting to work with her, and I called her up and booked her when we used to do shows here up in Harlem, LGBT shows. She is a work. She is the real deal when it comes to that hard-working New Yorker girl who you throw her in any situation and she will own it. She is that person. And it was, for me, it was a good thrill to, like, you know, see her to get to this journey, to get to this part of her journey. So I'm looking forward to see how she goes and where she goes with it.
Cameron Michaels is a muscle queen from Nashville, meaning she actually goes to the gym and has pecs and biceps. But don't get excited. She's muscular as in circuit party, not as in bodybuilding. And she says that she started doing drag because she had a nervous breakdown after the split up with her boyfriend. So I'm really curious to see, like, wow, what kind of psychological warfare they're going to unleash on poor Cameron Michaels.
That boy must have been a fierce top, honey.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I need to become a woman so I can get more dick.
Fierce top, honey. Oh, yeah. Because I can't see her being the top and then all of a sudden she break up with a boyfriend. It's like, yeah, girl, I'm going to go do drag now. Honey, he hit her in some special places. He played fa-la-la-la-la-la-la right on her G-spot, honey. And she's like, Christina, get me the dress.
I see in this picture that I'm looking at right here, he's got a little bit of a princess look about him. And I wonder if they're sisters from Nashville. The princess from season 4.
Maybe. They certainly have a similarity to themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, she reminds me a lot of Jack McEnroth from Project Runway and her physical appearance. And I can see her, you know, 40 years down the road.
Yeah.
Having a lot of facial reconstruction and then going on Instagram and saying, I've had no work done on my face.
And then getting an only for fans thing. Have you seen that?
Girl.
Vivacious?
You know who
Jack McEnroth is, right? From Project Runway. Hold on.
Are you trying to tell me he has an OnlyFans page?
Yes. He has an OnlyFans page.
And good for him.
And if you look at his Instagram or if you look at his Facebook, it'll have like these pictures and it'll be censored. And they'll say go to OnlyFans. And like the thing that's censored is pretty much like just his butthole. And so if you want to see Jack McEnroth's butthole,
it's a good butt. And you know, ain't no shame and showing sexy photos of yourself for money.
I'm going to have to Tumblr his name later on to see how many pictures I could find.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He is probably of all. And he also, you know, is a fabulous crossdresser.
He is.
Yeah. Well, Jack McEnroth, are you kidding? You know, and before they even started RuPaul's Drag Race, they were considering it calling it crossdressers and pantyhose for dollars. But it didn't play well with test audiences. That's just a joke. But so, yeah, I would say Cameron Michaels definitely strikes me as somebody who does rely on that body and relies on it well.
She reminds me, she reminds me of Chad Michaels without the Chad Michaels.
She reminds me actually of Raven in a lot of ways.
I could see that too.
And there's a drag queen that's actually lives in Los Angeles, and she's gal pals with a lot of Raven, Morgan McMichaels, and Delta Work, and that's Mayhem Miller. I really like Mayhem Miller.
She's gal pals with Vivacious too.
Oh, sure. Her voice is luscious.
From the time I've met her from season 6, every year I sent in a letter of recommendation to try to get that bitch on the show. Because I actually love Mayhem, and I believe in the bitch. She's a fierce girl. And, you know, as I told somebody today from the season 10 coming up, I said, darling, it doesn't matter where you get off on the show. Remember, there are 8 million bitches still trying to get on the show. And remember, you got on before they did, and they're still up to their 15th audition tape.
Well, the real thing that gets me excited about Mayhem Miller is her truck driver voice. You know, she's like, I'm really glad to be on the show, you know, and she has a great sense of humor and great personality. She's one of the queens I'm chomping at the bit to get on the podcast because I think she will really shine in an interview. Come on, Mayhem.
Mayhem will Baby. Now finally be able to travel in the same circles as all her friends with the same name attached, because she's been traveling with them for years without the name, and now she has the name. It's her validation for season 10, so this is very good.
Monique Hart from Kansas City, Missouri, calls herself a devoted Christian. So we can look forward to this season, her like praying to Jesus before she lip syncs for her life.
You know, she reminds me, she reminds me a little bit of Mystique Summers in the face.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
yeah. Right. But she's not Mystique Summers. I'm actually curious to see what she brings forward also in terms of the race. You know, there's a lot of RuPaul. They pulled out some stops. I heard some rumor that they had to stop halfway through the show in midcast or something. I don't know if that's true or not, but
whatever. She stopped for what?
They had to remove one of the queens because she was unruly.
Somebody who said that to me was might have been somebody that I saw somewhere over the weekend. It wasn't me.
Monet Exchange is considered a front runner from the Bronx. Of course, you're old gal pals with her, and just like Peppermint, you go through her mail all the time. Sorry,
I try to. So Monet, I call Monet the rich black white woman, because out of every queen who lives in this area, this is the only bitch who drives to work.
She drives to work in New York City?
Yes.
Where's she parking?
Wherever she lives, she has a car. She drives to work.
Does she give lifts to other queens? I mean, because it can be dangerous.
No, she knows the queens who she's going
to
live.
So if you have parking, let's say you have parking at your apartment and you're driving, when you say work, you mean to her drag gig. So if she's driving to a drag gig like in Manhattan, you got to pay again for parking. Well, parking's got to be like 30, 40 bucks.
I think she has it somehow arranged that she can park on her block where she's working. I don't know how she's doing it, but maybe she keeps driving around on the streets until she does find a parking spot, or after all these years, she knows where the good spots are for the nights of the week that she's working. I don't know, but she's the only bitch that I know that drives to work. Miss Cracker gets on the train in drag. I want you all to see that silhouette of Miss Cracker. Look at all her Instagram pictures. Now envision that on the D train or the one train going downtown.
And these are trains that are a little uncomfortable at late at night when you're done with your gig. So hopefully they're taking a cab home when it's late at night.
I don't know about that, but she gets on the train and she travels in full drag.
There's been cross-dressers on those trains since those trains started. Come on.
In New York City, absolutely.
You know?
Yuhua Hamasaki, another New York City queen. She looks fantastic.
She is my swish bitch sister.
She's a Chinese born Manhattan Chinatown queen who is a seamstress by day and, of course, drag queen by night.
And Yuhua is like the real name, right?
Yes, that's her real name.
Parental name, as we call them. They're all real names. I
think, that's her first name. The last name she made up, because the last name is actually Japanese. Mm-hmm. Hamasaki. So I guess she wanted to embody both the best of both worlds. If you meet Yuhua as a boy, she looks like a transgendered lady without the full transitioning.
So you're saying Yuhua Hamasaki is both pan-Asian and pansexual?
Pan-gendered.
Pan-gendered, yeah.
Okay, so she's fish gendered.
Fish. Oh, what, that's your new word.
That's your new phrase. Fish. Explain to the listeners.
She was like, fish this week, she's like, I got this new word.
Trend alert. Fish gender.
Everybody. Vivacious has an important announcement.
Now, you know, RuPaul says we're all born naked and the rest is drag. Right. My philosophy is we're all born feminine and the rest is whatever we want to be. So since everybody keeps assigning themselves unique words, I've come up with one word that embodies everybody. Fish gendered.
except for the tilapia.
It covers a cisgendered woman. A drag king who identifies himself as him, even though genetically, based on Christian definition, she's actually a she. You know, it uncovers every gay man who's a sissy. We're all sissies. We're all ladies. You know, we're all in there. Fish gendered, one word. By using that one word alone, you offend no one.
Fish gender pride, baby.
And how about Vanessa Vanjie Mateo?
She's Alexis Mateo's drag daughter.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of drag daughters on this season of the 10.
Aquaria is Sharon Needles' drag daughter.
Yeah. And Monet Exchange is Vivacious' drag daughter.
No, she's not. She's Bob the drag queen and so is Miss Cracker.
Yeah, Miss Cracker's Bob the drag queen's daughter.
All these little drag babies.
Yeah.
Miss Vanjie, she sounds very Vanjie, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. In that interview, she sounded very Vanjie. And I'm like, girl, you sure you Alexis's daughter? Because Alexis is very poised and very put together. Girl, she sound like she walked out of Compton yesterday. I'm like, you're not Vanjie.
Maybe she left at the doorstep.
You're not Vanjie, girl. You're not Vanjie, girl. It's like, you're not Vanjie, girl. You Vanjie. That's a Vanjie girl right there, honey.
Well, that covers all the season 10 drag queens, and may the best woman win.
Win!
Yay!
You forgot the vixen, though. So.
Oh, shit!
Chicago's own the vixen.
A drag queen you guys have heard many times on this podcast.
I think 7 podcasts we've done together. Yes. We also did an episode of Cooking with Drag Queens. Let me tell you, the first time we met Vixen or the Tony, Fausto and I were attending an HRC gala, and he was as a boy, and HRC presented him with a scholarship. And then it was later we discovered that, like, it was like a, what do they call it?
An honorary title.
An honorary thing. It was like one of those, like, dog and pony shows where they have all these rich white people. And then they bring up this young African-American boy to give him a scholarship because, like, look at the good we're doing. Well, it turns out there was no money in that scholarship. It was just kind of like an honorary scholarship. So it was just like when he told us that, we're like, oh, I was like, my heart went out to him because I'm like, I just felt like he'd been taken so advantage of.
And there's a lot of heartache in there. You know, I want the Vixen to succeed. Mm-hmm. We fell in love with the Vixen while we were filming Shea Coulee's episode of Cooking with Drag Queens. Vixen tore up the stage like, you know, just a gymnastic superstar doing death drop after death drop and platforms and duck walks and pussy poppings. Mm-hmm. And she was, at the time, largely ignored by many of the girls in town. And kind of, you know, the drag queens in Chicago can be really mean.
They can be
and
very
gang
clickish.
Up and clickish. And you know, one day they'll be picking on one drag queen and the drag queen comes and calls me up or comes to our house and starts crying on our kitchen counter, you know? And then the next day, that drag queen is in cahoots with them, and they're picking on somebody else.
Yeah, it's a weird little cycle. And the other thing, too, is about the Chicago drag scene, too, is like for a lot of these, the black drag queens, they felt like, you know, there's only so many shows in town, and there's like that show's only going to have one black person in it. So if you're not in it, then like you're not, either your friend's in it, that means you're not going to be in it. And so it kind of became a big complaint about racism in Boys Town.
So there's an article about racism in Chicago's queer nightclub scene that came out in The Reader, at the same time our episode of Cooking with Drag Queens came out, which dismissed queens from Drag Race in the subtitle, forget RuPaul and bachelorette parties. These queens, like the Vixen, bring protest politics to the stage. And in her information so far that we've seen, she's expected to bring, she's called, considers herself the most woke drag queen of all Drag Race.
Oh, really?
So hopefully.
I wonder how some other drag queens feel about that.
In terms of consciousness raising, in terms of fighting for equality, I want Vixen to succeed because we believe in the Vixen and we believe in diversity and fighting racism. And we want viewers to see this show and be like inspired to fight and change hearts around the world. But what we've done with her, we've also had a really, really negative experience. We put a lot of work into doing an episode of Cooking with Drag Queens with her. She came on the show and just completely crapped on us, and after the fact said to my face that I'm doing this for a little publicity, don't take this personally. And then she went on social media and tarred and feathered us as much as she could, you know, in innuendo, because there was nothing that we actually had done wrong. And then she got cast on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I reached out to her many, many times. And since I found out that she was on Drag Race, I reached out to her again and said, congratulations, baby. I dreamed this day would come for you. And we have gotten nothing but stone cold silence. And it's been one of the most emotionally sad exchanges we've had with a drag queen in the 14 years of doing the show. And I
it's
hope
very disappointing
that her appearance on Drag Race is going to open up doors and melt her heart and make her into the drag queen she was meant to be. But I also have a little, I'm not going to deny, I'm going to say I have a little schadenfreude, a little pleasure in seeing her be sent home if she gets sent home on Drag Race.
You better edit that from this interview.
Why?
I'm speaking the truth.
Positive here.
Listen, all the drag queens except one is going to be sent home.
All the drag queens are going to be sent home. You know, she'll make it all the way to the reunion show because they all come back for the reunion show. But it's you know, it's one of these things, and I don't want to like say like, hey, look at all these other people that are doing it. But there's a lot of Facebook posts this past week since the reveal has happened, and there's a lot of people that are congratulating her and saying they hope that she does well. But also too, on the flip side of that, there's a lot of people that are just saying, I wish she was a nicer person. I wish she wasn't so mean to people, because she can be very mean and she can be very confrontational. And, you know, she says in her Meet the Queens thing, she's just like, you know, I'm just being honest, you know. And if people are telling you that they're an honest person, chances are they're not an honest person, is my experience. And then also too, it's like when you look and she's like, I saw Tyra Sanchez get up there and win Drag Race, and that's what inspired me to get into drag. If your idol is one of the most reviled drag queens of all of Drag Race, then there's something going on there. And now also, let's remember too, this Meet the Queen stuff, like that stuff is also, it's filmed after like they filmed the series, right? So like she already knows
the tea, she already the knows. Kettle is spouting.
She already knows how she's coming off. You know what I mean? She knows what her edit's going to be like. And the other thing, too, is like, this is wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if some of this stuff was kind of encouraged.
So you feel like the Vixen was cast and asked to be rude to the
contestants? You know, and that's part of the thing. Is
and
like,
she's
listen,
comfortable with
she,
that.
She's a girl from here. Like, she's from Crete, Illinois, originally, and then she moved to, like, Berwyn. And so, you know, she struggled she dropped out of college. She struggled to make it in drag and knew if she caused notoriety, knew if she caused like arguments online that it would get her some amount of fame. And you know, unfortunately, entertainment is one of those businesses where you kind of need to, you rely on being famous in order to make any money. Like there's no other way to do it, really, you know, as an entertainer. And so it's the only thing that she's got. Sometimes being a high riding bitch is all a woman has to hold on to in life.
High riding bitch.
Yeah, it's from Dolores Claiborne. I can pull out the exact quote, but it's, you know, basically sometimes you just have the only thing you have to hold on to is being a high riding bitch.
And let me just repeat this one more time. Yeah. I want her to succeed. I want her to do well. And I'm so happy that she's on the show.
And I want her to get a mental health check.
Well, and maybe she's, you know, getting that. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We have no connection, no communication with her anymore. Mm-hmm. She defriended and blocked us from Facebook.
I'm not blocked, but I am defriended.
I have been blocked and defriended.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, she likes me more than you.
Don't take it personal. It's just her drag.
And I have lots more to say, but I'm waiting for the season to get into swing and all.
Yeah.
I got plenty of information about her. Yeah. So,
but
and it's a lot of it is good. Mm-hmm. Not all of it's bad.
Now, what I do find is rather interesting, and maybe this is a spoiler, so you might want to skip ahead, is that the outfit that she wore for Meet the Queens was made to be on Drag Race.
But she didn't get to wear it.
So maybe she had a different choice of clothes to wear for that episode, or she didn't get a chance to show it at all.
Or maybe she did get to show it and she just, you know,
wore it twice.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
What's your thought on the Vixen from what you've seen so far, Vivacious?
From what I've seen in terms of a few clips online, she's a fierce dancer.
Absolutely.
And I love me a dancing bitch. So I hope she goes far. I do know, as a black queen, and I said this about last season for Shay, and thank God Shay proved me completely the opposite. If you go on the show with a chip on your shoulder and you come up as some angry black girl person, you're in trouble. Pace yourself properly. Pull your etiquette together. Conduct and condone yourself properly.
Conduct
That's
and
all
condone.
I have to say.
I think I want to just impress anybody who's on Drag Race who's listening to this right now. Being on that show can be really lonely experience. And you're not alone, and you have 100 drag queens plus to connect with. Vivacious is always available for you guys, right? You'll talk to anybody on the phone that's been on Drag Race.
I've spoken to a few from this season, but no, I did not give them any tips on which house to go to for their bookings.
But you're good at you know, when the queens feel like they're struggling emotionally or they're lost or they're just like have questions, you're a good 411 resource for them.
They'll come around soon. They'll make their presence known. I've spoken to a few, and we've had good conversations. So I'm just looking forward to see. I think the reality, you have to remember, after season 7 with the whole Miss Pearl kerfluffle, the clubs are now being very reserved on pre-booking ahead of time. They're not doing that anymore.
Oh, really? It's a wait and see? Like, let's see what kind of bitch this person is?
Kind of like a wait and see, because they thought Miss Pearl went Miss Fame went far, and then she showed up to a few clubs and it was like watching a Helen Keller movie in slow motion.
Meaning that she just wasn't aware of her surroundings or
not performance ready. She didn't know how to energize a crowd in any way, shape or form. And those club owners sent the videos to other clubs and was like, I can't believe I paid X and X amount of money for this ahead of time. And so the clubs are now at a wait and see stage in terms of we'll wait and see how these girls do before they start booking them. But VH1 is also, you know, in the last, since season 6, more spaces has opened up.
Yeah.
And so it will now give these girls the ability to work in other avenues that season 6 girls do not have.
Some clubs have renamed the name of the club to RuPaul's Drag Race. Like they're so booking so many queens into their venues. They put a poster for RuPaul's Drag Race over the name of the bar. I'm not kidding.
Because they know that it draws money. It draws people showing up. You know, it also by naming it that, people know that this is a safe haven for the LGBT community.
I've seen some people go, oh, there's a RuPaul's Drag Race bar in this town. Great. That's what they call them, RuPaul's Drag Race bars.
Because they know that once they show up, they're going to get a good show, a good death drop, you know, whether it is a drag race girl or not. But at least we know the affiliation is there. So that's good. It means it's a safe space.
It's kind of like eating at Burger King when you're on a road trip. You know, it's not something you eat when you're at home, but when you're feeling like lost and hungry and away from home, it's something comforting that you're familiar with.
Right. Well, because it's not only that, by putting the word RuPaul's Drag Race, because you know that not all gay bars feature drag queens.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bar here in New York City that if you go there in drag, they will tell you to leave.
Oh, really?
They don't want THAT in their establishment.
They don't want what?
They don't want that in their establishment.
She's spelling it out.
Okay.
THAT. T.
There's a set of sad gays who believe that they got their rights by being men. Darling, it was the men in the dresses who literally use their presence every day in public to make gay visual awareness be available. Remember, if they don't see you, you don't exist. If you dress up in a business suit and you're a gay man, no one's going to tell you're gay. But when a man dresses in woman's outfit, it sparks a dialogue in their brain, and they then have to address the question. They do exist. What, Blanche? What exists? Gay people. Why'd you say that, Blanche? There's one of the men in the dresses right there on the train. Oh, my goodness, Rose. I thought she was a thespian. No, Blanche. We create that dialogue. And by us being visible, that's what helps to fight with LGBT rights. But there are some bars that don't feature it.
So have you noticed that Bob the Drag Queen has replaced Katya and most of Trixie on the Trixie and Katya show?
Half of Trixie's gone. So it's half Trixie and three quarters of the
all
rest
of Katya.
All of Katya's gone and half of Trixie is gone because Bob's there.
And if you think you can get a word in edgewise with Milk Trixie, wait till you do the show with Bob.
Bob really is a one-woman show, and Bob really doesn't need somebody else.
Well, then maybe it should just be the Trixie and Katya show featuring Bob. Just get rid of both of them.
Well, here's the thing. I believe that Trixie working with Bob will help Trixie more as well, because Bob's quite good at what does. So Trixie will pick up a few tips from how Bob does things, and it'll just add to her resume. It'll make Trixie a stronger person from where she is. I'm not saying she's not strong. She is. But it's like taking a Bob's boot camp class will make her a much more stronger person. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfurls as the months and weeks go by.
But at the same time, I think it'll be good for Bob because it'll require him to maybe pull back a little bit and give Trixie some space to blossom, because there's no denying that with Katya and Trixie, that combination has been stellar. And, it's not going to be the same combination with Bob and Trixie. So I think for both of them to try to sort of recapture the lightning in the bottle that they had with Trixie and Katya is going to make them both grow as artists. And I look forward to seeing what they do.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Katya is going, I'm not dead, kids. I'll be back in a year. Don't forget about me.
I think Katya is off doing Germany's Next Top Model. That's why she's gone.
Germany's Next Top Model? That's a television show?
Yes. They all left to go to Germany a few days ago.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh. Germany's Next Top... That is an actual show. But yes. That's for a bunch of women.
Yes, and she's a part of the show.
Oh, fascinating. Well, the plot thickens, doesn't it, my children's?
So that's where she's off to. I think she's there to reclaim her name in a native land, so to speak.
Okay, as long as she's not like kidnapped by one of those Russian oligarchs.
I could see Katya, being like some Melania Trump trophy wife or
something. I was going to say she's taken classes at the Melania School on how to be a KGB agent.
Yeah, cunt, gay balls or something. I forgot what we asked her what KGB stands for. But she came up with a pretty funny answer on the podcast. I guess you'll just have to listen to it at feastoffun.com/... Plus, mm-hmm. where all our archives with all these amazing drag queens can be found.
Yeah, so many of the girls from All Stars, who have we talked to? We've talked to Shangela, Trixie's been on a few times, Ben de la Creme. I feel like, am I missing somebody that's
RuPaul?
RuPaul.
Bibi Zaharabaneh. And the judges.
Michelle Visage.
Yeah, Ross Matthews. Ross couldn't remember any names of any drag queens, period.
Yeah.
When we asked him, name a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Who's your favorite drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race? He couldn't name one.
He said, oh, there's so many. It's so hard to choose. You know, I said, well, just name one of them.
He's like, can you name a drag queen at all?
And then he struggled. I said, Raja.
On season 8, for when they had the previews with Wendy Williams, he couldn't even remember the girls that was on that season, and he just saw them.
Mm.
Well, is it just that as the experience for the judges, they just don't get to spend a lot of the times with the contestants? And so there's not like a sheet of paper where the names are written down.
It doesn't matter if he doesn't get to spend any time, but you are there judging them on that stage. And I'm sure the names were in front of you. You've had 5 weeks to remember those names.
Yeah, but imagine
that a year later and you forget.
They meet these drag queens and they go, hi, my name is Asia. My name is Aquaria. My name is Blair. My name is Mayhem. My name is Cracker. My name is Cameron. My name is Yuhua. My name is Vixen. And you're like, who? What? Wait, what? Wait, say that again. I don't know who these people are. I just met them 5 minutes ago. You know, when you start a new job at a place that has like 100 employees, you know, you're just like, everyone's like, hello, Fausto. Hello, Fausto. Hello, Fausto. And you're like, I have no idea who half of these people are.
That is true.
And it's the same thing for these judges, you know. Everybody knows who Ross Matthews is, but Ross has just met these people 5 minutes ago.
That is true.
Now, that may be, but lightning does not affect a bitch's ability to run a comb through a rat's nest of a weave that makes her look like Beyonce on a budget, said Lady Bunny.
I was going to say, leave Lady Bunny alone.
That was Lady Bunny commenting on RuPaul's infamous appearance on Project Runway.
Project Runway.
Which you can hear RuPaul's reaction to that on our archives at feastoffun.com.
She was not amused.
Just so you know, RuPaul will again appear on Project Runway as a judge.
Oh, really? I wonder if they'll mention her past
I'm looking forward to that. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I saw an article about that, and she was with all the other judges, so it looked as though she might be in the next season for Project Runway. And I thought that that was quite interesting.
Well, mother of Ornatia, cousin to Cornatia, mother to all the drag queens in the world, Vivacious, Miss Vivacious, NYC. Thank you so much for being a friend and for coming on the show. And is there any hot tea we forgot to mention?
Oh, hold on, but see, we forgot the pink elephant in the room from last season's show.
Who?
I mean, from last week's show. Can we talk about the fact that Aja helped Bibi sew her costume and did it together, and then Bibi sent her the chop? That is the mother of all shade, honey.
That does not feel good.
Yeah. But also, too, is like she kind of knew it was coming, I think. Right?
Well, she wouldn't allow her to talk when it came time to talk backstage in terms of to plead your case to the winners for the challenge. And right. Also, when they asked Bibi, did you make that outfit? She said yes. She didn't even give any acknowledgement to Aja, whereas Shangela turned and put up both hands and pointed to Trixie and said, I had help from a friend right here who helped me put this together, you know, who was trying to help me with my previous outfit. Shangela gave credit where credit is due. And when Bibi Zahara turned around and said she did it by herself, you saw Shangela and Aja turn and looked at each other and went, bitch! Did she just? Oh, yes, she did. And then she turned around and sent her home.
That ain't right. Well, maybe she is going to send her $10,000 via PayPal to make it up for her.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what amount of money did Alaska offer
$10,000?
Was it $10,000?
Mm-hmm.
$10,000. I'll PayPal you it.
Nothing says I'm sorry like $10,000.
Hey, and we appreciate it when the listeners of the show give us $10. Mm-hmm. Please consider making a one-time donation at feastoffun.com. /donate. And Ornacia heads are up for sale on her, if people want to buy them from you, correct?
Yes, they are. I sell them through Instagram. It's a direct-to-direct market when it comes to that. I don't have to beat around the bush.
That's Vivacious NYC on Instagram. Is that the one?
Yes, Vivacious NYC on Instagram.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support, so if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, and you can access all of our old archives, and you get all of our private shows, or the secret podcasts.
Where we tell you even more dirt, more scalding hot tea, more beautiful stories of redemption and heroism and love.
And if you have any problems accessing your account, just let me know. Just, you know, when you sign up at Plus, it's going to take you to PayPal, and when it brings you back from PayPal, you're going to be presented with an option. It says log in now right under the upgrade button. That's where you log in. Thank you, Vivacious.
Thank you.
You're the best.
And may the best woman win.
We'll see you back in like 2 weeks
for the crowning.
Is it the crowning then?
When I think it's three more episodes. That's it for All Stars. Honey.
Ooh. I can't wait.
Get $100,000 and those shady handmaidens come to play this week.
I know. Oh, three of them come back. Is it three? Because I counted three, right?
What happened to Milk as a handmaiden? She was contractually not allowed to return?
I don't know. What makes you think she's not one of them?
Because she's really tall, and all the handmaidens were all the same height.
All the same height. Did you notice that too, right? Unless they told Milk to take off her shoes. I know that I thought the middle one was Milk at first, but then when you look at the hand, you realize that's Aja's makeup. That's Aja's tattoos.
Oh.
So who do you think the other two might be?
Aja, Morgan McMichaels, and who else? Thorgy? Who was the first one home?
Morgan.
Oh, Morgan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Thorgy.
Then it's Thorgy. And then, yes, because Thorgy literally went on a rant and tried to blow up the surprise for the return. Remember, she got very childish the other day when she went on her little interview tour. And she's like, there's a surprise coming up.
I wonder if she was allowed to say there's a surprise coming up.
I mean, I don't know what her headspace, her head game is in terms of the... You know, I just don't like people who go on the show, they're given this wonderful position, and then they turn around and try to bite the hand that feeds them. I find that a bit ungrateful.
You mean a drag queen who can be shady? How rude.
Because it really is. It's, you know, being on the show is a very, very unique and exceptional experience. And it's like, if you're not super grateful for it, it just, you really just come off as a turd.
Are you talking about Cooking with Drag Queens or RuPaul's Drag Race?
All of them.
Hey, Vivacious, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so very much for having me. This was lots of fun.
It's always fun to kiki with you, and I look forward to doing it again. Which, same time tomorrow?
same bat time, same bat channel, same drag time, same drag channel, honey. Oh, bitch, how dare you?
That's supposed to be... That's
She's
rude.
Batman.
Oh, Batman.
Right?
Not Batty, man.
Oh. Well, it's... Yeah.
That's...
I know.
You better, bitch, Mark, for your edification and life, you better delete that part from this interview.
Yeah.
What? You said same baddie time as same baddie
same
time?
Same bat channel.
You have to reclaim these same, things.
I said same bad time, same bad
channel.
I'm
trying to take my words away.
No.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No?
No, okay.
The word that you said is no different from than saying the F word.
Yeah, faggot or anything like that.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not me.
Yeah, so no. We'll take it out.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Vivacious. We love you.
Thank you.
Bye, darling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So what were you saying about Vivacious?
She lives in Harlem, New York.
In Harlem, New York City, baby. You can check out her fabulous Instagram channel and order yourself an Ornacia head at Vivacious NYC. And, of course, Vivacious has music for sale on iTunes as well. And find out the story of Ornacia. Of Ornacia, honey bunny.
Get it all. Support those artists that come on the show.
Yeah. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We had so much fun doing this show. I mean, someone was asking, was like, what's on the show tomorrow? And I'm like, it's a show about drag queens, of course.
But that's not all we do. Tomorrow we're talking to your friend Kelly from a mom band.
Oh, the Big Diddies. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a mom rocker supergroup who had released a single parodying Trump, all his tweets, and the record label shut them down.
We're also talking to a child star this week who's coming out of the closet, and you'll probably hear about it here first at Feast of Fun. And then our good friend, comedian Carmen Nybarger, is going to come back.
Well, Danny Pinnanaro's already out of the
closet.
He's out.
It's not him. It's somebody else.
But somebody just as good as that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. Bye. Bye.